Well, folks, as the Doors said, no one here gets out alive. And we're all going to die sometime. But I've got breaking news that conservative activist Charlie Kirk is in critical condition after being shot at Utah College. So I think the nationwide armada of prayers going forth is helping. So keep your prayers up. I just want to show you guys what happened. If you're unaware, if you're just tuning in, you know, you haven't been looking at your X account or anything else, here's a video of what happened maybe about an hour and a half ago.
Counting or not counting gang violence.
Oh my God.
Go, run, run.
And there you can see people running, fleeing from the event. Now, before we go to this next shot, this is close up. It's graphic. It's extremely graphic. If you are easily disturbed, I think the reason I'm showing this, though, is people need to get in their heads and get themselves right with what's going on. And unless you want to be a victim, heed what you're about to see, because this is pretty graphic and damning.
Not counting gang violence. Great. Not counting gang violence. Great.
Right after talking about gang violence, our prayers are with Charlie. We're going to open up the phone lines. Guys, put that number on screen. And I want to read a tweet Charlie put out, I believe it was yesterday, or September 8th. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. I'm opening up the phone lines because I want to hear what people have to say about this. Some people on the left are extremely gleeful that this is happening. They love it. But we played a video yesterday of Van Jones blaming Charlie Kirk about this. And Charlie responded with this: Van Jones, I'm not ashamed, but you should be. You're part of a media cabal that tried to silence this story because it exposes the gross incompetence of Democrats' so-called criminal justice reform. You and other talking heads on TV are complicit in the revolving door that lets these violent criminals roam our streets to maim and murder. Secondly, there was no George Floyd Criminal Justice Reform Act because it would have been a disaster and cooler heads eventually prevailed, and we started challenging the D.C. media establishment. George Floyd died of a drug overdose after a lifetime of destroying his body with illegal substances. BLM burned down American cities and terrorized businesses for a criminal who didn't cooperate with police. His friends did, and they are alive today. How many black and brown people died post Floyd because police were afraid to go into urban neighborhoods for fear of being scapegoated if something went wrong? And yes, of course, if the races were reversed, you'd be the loudest crying racism, Mr. White Lash. The killer said, "I got that white girl." Why did he say that, Van? Lastly, would you even be talking about this story if we hadn't raised the issue on social media? Of course not. Americans are sick of the lies and racial grievances built on fake news narratives. The propaganda is literally killing innocent people. Van Jones, I invite you to come on my show and we can discuss this like men, respectfully. And we'll play that video when we come back. And I might read this tweet again, but we're going to take your calls. We're also going to play MSM anchor calls Charlie Kirk divisive and polarizing after he was shot. A guy quoting the Bible. And I'll read more from this breaking news article on the condition of Charlie Kirk. Right now, he is listed in critical condition. Say your prayers out there to Charlie Kirk because he needs them. Some people don't think he was hardcore enough. I think he was trying to get people to wake up to what's going on around them and do it in a respectful manner. It's a sad day in the war room, but we will still be here. We will be letting you know of all the breaking updates on the condition of Charlie Kirk. Let's keep praying for him. You know what to do, InfoWars. You know what to do, InfoWarriors. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war, and it's not a war we wanted, but it's a war nonetheless. Thank you for joining me on this historic day. The shot heard around the world, a bullet piercing Charlie Kirk's body. AP is reporting he's in critical condition. at a hospital after being shot Wednesday at a Utah event. We are confirming that he was shot, and we are praying for Charlie, said Aubrey Lash, public relations manager for Turning Point USA. Videos posted to social media from Utah Valley University show Kirk speaking into a handheld microphone while sitting under a white tent emblazoned with the slogans, "The American Comeback" and "Prove Me Wrong." A single shot rings out, and Kirk can be seen reaching up with his right hand as a large volume of blood gushes from his left side of his neck. Stunned spectators are heard gasping and screaming before people start to run away. The AP was able to confirm that videos were taken at Source and Center Courtyard on Utah Valley University campus. Kirk was speaking at a debate hosted by his nonprofit political organization. The event had been met with divided opinions on campus and online petitions calling for the university administrators to bar Kirk from appearing. Received nearly 1,000 signatures. The university issued a statement citing First Amendment and affirming its commitment to free speech, intellectual inquiry, and constructive dialogue. The colleague said a single shot had been fired and a suspect was in custody. President Trump and a host of Republican and Democrat elected officials decried the shooting and offered prayers and support for Charlie on social media. We must pray for, bring up that truth if you got it from President Trump. We must pray for Charlie Kirk, who has been shot. A great guy from top to bottom. God bless him, in all caps, Trump posted on Truth Social. The shooting comes amid a spike of political violence in the United States across all parts of the ideological spectrum. The attacks include the assassination of Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband at their house in June from a guy tied to Tim Walz. The firebombing of a Colorado parade to demand Hamas release hostages and a fire set at the house of the Pennsylvania governor, who is Jewish, in April. The most notorious of these events is the shooting of Trump during a campaign rally last year. Former Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz, a Republican who was at the event, said in an interview on Fox News Channel, he heard one shot and saw Kirk go back. It seemed like it was a close shot, Chaffetz said, who seemed shaken. He said there was a light police presence at the event and Kirk had some security, but not enough. Utah is one of the safest places in the planet, he said, and we just don't have these types of things. Turning Point was founded in suburban Chicago in 2012 by Kirk, then 18, and William Montgomery, a Tea Party activist, to proselytize on college campuses for low taxes and limited government. So, talk about low taxes and limited government, and you may get shot. Can you imagine? You imagine that's the world we're living in? Kirk's zeal for confronting liberals in academia eventually won over an influential set of conservative financiers. Despite early misgivings, Turning Point enthusiastically backed Trump after he clinched the GOP nomination in 2016. Kirk served as his personal aide to Donald Trump Jr., the president's eldest son, during the general election campaign. Soon, Kirk was a regular presence on cable TV, where he leaned into the culture wars and he praised on then-President Trump. All right, let's go. I saw Badass Uncle Sam up on the board. And if y'all could put the board, the collars on the big board. I'm wearing my close-up glasses so I can see close up. Let's go to Badass Uncle Sam. How you doing there out there, brother? Badass Uncle Sam, are you there?
You hear me, brother?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let me tell you how close and personal this is and how it's touching me. I mean, first off, prayers to Charlie. I mean, God, please. Yesterday, I spent 3 hours in a deposition of a man that tried to kill me on the streets 2 years ago. So I'm on the streets. You've seen me. I can tell you this just from, you know, the tempo that I've been picking out there up on the streets. A lot of leftists are leaving the leftists. They're leaving. They've had enough of it. The ones that are left, though, are becoming more and more insane. I'm feeling it on the street. I'm getting it on the street. And I can only imagine that this is only going to get worse. I would probably think that a lot of these are minions who are going to be let loose to create this destabilization that they want.
Before you go any further, I just want people to know, Badass Uncle Sam is a man who gets out in the French Quarter of New Orleans, probably one of the most liberal places in the South. And he stands tall, and he has dialogue with people from all walks of life. A lot of people agree with him. Some people disagree with him. And he gets a lot of hate from those who disagree with him. There's his channel. You can watch all of his videos on band.video. You can see what kind of man he is. He's a man who stands up and is ready to talk, because that's what we have to do. We have to keep talking to these people, but be prepared and be vigilant. All right, Uncle Sam, back to you. Go ahead.
Thank you for those kind words, Drew. But indeed, people, I get it every time I go out. People say, you know, there ought to be more people like you. My retort to that is, what's stopping you? We need more people out here. I mean, if you go down the streets in this liberal cesspool city here, every third block in the French Quarter's got some idiot leftist with a clipboard going, would you sign up for gay rights or some other stupid thing? And I'm saying, where are we? Well, why aren't we next to them? Why aren't we with our clipboard, with our brochures, with our plaques?
It's a good point.
I don't want to hear excuses from anybody.
Yeah. That's a good point. I got approached last time when I was there seeing you. I got approached by an ACLU representative. And I said, where's the ACLU on First Amendment? Where's the ACLU on the J6ers who didn't do anything but just go protest so the government could hear their grievances? Where's the ACLU on that?
Exactly. Yeah, they used to come around me. They don't come around me because I go up and challenge them with those same questions.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have an argument. And here's the deal. I mean, the reason we're seeing the violence is because this proves they have no argument.
Right.
They go silent. I mean, every weekend, every day I go out. I mean, I'm going to run into a couple of them every day, come up and shout at me, scream something at me. And I says, you know, I'm here to talk, but I'll do anything else you want to do. Yeah. But I want you to tell me why you're coming at me like this. What don't you see on my artboard here that you don't agree with? Let's talk it out. And inevitably, maybe now and then I'll get one to do that. I mean, you know, and that's what we want. I mean, the idea is to try to turn some people around, to be an example, to show that, you know, we are the reasonable ones. And that's why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. Now, my next thing I want to do is, and pray God I get the money for it, I want to get two LED screens up there and live stream InfoWars to the street.
Yeah.
So take the onus off of me. You know, I'm going to have two big screens up there. So, you know, I can show you the clips, Alex, everybody. And, you know, then I'm not the center of attention. I can just be on the side and ask people what they think. So, you know, that's what I want to do. I mean, if I do that, then I can't see how that won't work. That to me is, and they don't want to get one in every damn city that there is, you know, out there.
There should be a badass Uncle Sam in every big city challenging the leftist narrative. Because, I mean, I tell you, you're in one of the most liberal cesspools. And it's a great, there's a lot of great things about New Orleans, but there it is a liberal cesspool.
Yes. But again, I wanted to, like, really, I mean, I turn it, all right, there was a black guy that lives here just probably put the video up. I was working on it just yesterday. Guy, black guy. You know what I'm seeing right now, too, Drew, out there? That's why I want to live stream. The number of young blacks and black males on the whole that are conservative now. Mm-hmm. They're fist pumping. They're coming by. I mean, it's off the charts. You're still, I mean, obviously the most idiot ones are the white liberal ladies. They're still crazy. But there is, I mean, if we actually had free and fair elections, I don't think the Democrats get elected to a damn seat anywhere. I'm proving it out there in the streets. I can see it. And the thing is, we need to show up. 90% of it is showing up. And I don't care if it's at the council meetings. I don't care what it, you know, do something. I don't care if you just, and I swear, I think this would work. If we just wore the colors, if everybody wore an InfoWar shirt or a flag shirt or a, and to show where we are, and the left could see how many of us there are, they would cower. They would back down. But, and that's it. Just show up. I hate it when people come up to me and I'm not buy a Trump hat or something and say, well, I don't want to put it on here because, you know, I don't want to cause any trouble. I say, well, then get the hell away from me. You know, just don't. What are you doing here speaking to me for that? You know, just show up. Don't be afraid. Fear is what they feed off of. And, you know, and I've been 13 years out there. July 4th is 13 years out there. And I, you know, I don't see any bullet holes in me that, well, I shouldn't, God bless, please, I shouldn't even brought that one up. But, yeah. You know, the thing is, I've backed down crowds of leftists out there just by, get over here and answer me a question.
Yeah, just by standing up and combating their logic, which is illogic, with just a little bit of logic. That's all it takes. I watched you do it in person.
So, you know, people just show up. I mean, Alex says it all the time, too. You know, if a few of you more would just buy a few more of the products from InfoWars, you'd be ahead of the game. So if a few more of us would just show up in any way, and if you can't be out on the streets, if you can't, you know, for whatever reason, your job or whatever reason is holding you back, then give to the people that are on the front lines that are fighting. Show up, please, folks. We are in a war now. This is turning hot. It's been a soft war up until now. The evidence is out here, this spike in violence we're seeing, and it's now. It's now. If we don't stand up now, the left is going to become more emboldened, and then we're going to see more of this.
Yep.
This is when we stand up. Do it.
We got a video Alex Jones just sent me. This is a couple of witnesses on Fox News saying that the guy arrested, there's pictures of an older, bald guy being arrested, and thank you for your call, Badass Uncle Sam. You are badass, by the way. So I want to go to this video real quick, and then we'll continue with your calls. And I got a couple more videos to play, but we're gonna get to a lot of calls today. So be prepared. But here it is from Fox News. Witnesses say the guy arrested wasn't the shooter. Here it is.
Shooter. It was one shot right directly to the heart, and we need to find out who did this. I think there should be a research completely done that took place hours, maybe a day, before anything went on. Who could be there and pull that trigger and do it? And I don't think it was George Zimmer. He was poor, broke. He maybe was on medication, a little bit loony boon, maybe a perfect person to pick and say that did it, but I don't think he did it at all.
So at this point, but did you see him taken into custody? Did you see him with any kind of thing in his hand, any device in his hand or anything like that?
Yeah, I saw when they actually put the handcuffs behind his back. Okay. I followed them.
All right,
when
we're going to go to Jason Chaffetz. You know, obviously there's going to be a lot of theory.
And while this is going on, shooting at Evergreen High School in Colorado leaves three students hurt. First responders not certain how many shooters. At least three students were wounded in a Wednesday and at least three students were wounded Wednesday in a shooting at a high school in the Denver metro area. According to Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, the shooting took place at noon at Evergreen High School, 28 miles southwest of Denver. Jeffco Emergency Communications said there are reports of an active assailant in the area of Evergreen High School. St. Anthony's Hospital in Lakewood said there are three students in the hospital and suffered gunshot wounds. All are in critical condition, same as Charlie Kirk. It's still an active scene, and authorities ask those with students at the school to not go directly to the school at this time. Jackie Kelly, public information officer for Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, said during a press conference, "We're not certain how many shooters we have or where the shooter might be. I'm hoping for more information to come quickly." So the shooter over here, not in custody. And to me, this is all the reason why we should keep our and bear arms. This makes me feel even stronger about the Second Amendment. I want to go to this other video. This is right after the shooting. This is MSNBC anchor calls Charlie Kirk divisive and polarizing, a man who goes to college campuses to talk to kids about low taxes and smaller government, is divisive and polarizing. Here it is.
Yeah, we're showing, by the way, our affiliate in Utah and the aftermath of the shooting. You could see people running away pretty quickly, as you would imagine they would do at gunshots. The FBI director, Kash Patel, has weighed in on this. He just tweeted the following: "We're closely monitoring reports of the tragic shooting involving Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University. Our thoughts are with Charlie, his loved ones, and everyone affected. Agents will be on the scene quickly. And the FBI stands in full support of the ongoing response and the investigation." Charlie Kirk is a divisive figure, polarizing, lightning rod, whatever term you want to use. Why?
Well, he's one of MAGA's most prominent voices online. He hosts a near daily podcast. He opines on almost everything. He's been very closely aligned with the president since his initial run for office in 2015, 2016. And his ties to Trump really elevated his own brand. He was really quite young as an activist when the president launched his initial campaign, and he has kind of ridden along with MAGA since 2016 and built up a massive, massive brand of his own. His group has brought in tons and tons of money.
You know, I was at a Turning Point US, I think it was Turning Point Action event in Detroit with Alex. He went out there and spoke. This was about a year ago, before the election. And the crowd there, happy, bright, energetic, all ages. And Jack Posobiec went out there with Alex Jones, and there was a lot of other speakers out there. And Alex actually had a little private meeting with J.D. Vance, short meeting backstage. And he's already talked about this where J.D. Vance said, yeah, I'm getting the pick. So there it is. I just want to pull up Charlie's X account and see if there's any post on anything. Here's a post. If we want things to change, it's 100% necessary to politicize the senseless murder of Irina Zhartutska, because it was politics that allowed a savage monster with 14 priors to be free on the streets to kill her. That was 2 hours ago that was posted. Charlie Kirk's looking out for the victims. And I think when we get back from break, we'll play that clip where Van Jones calls out Charlie Kirk. Van Jones got $100 million from Jeff Bezos to spend on whatever he wants. Maybe we should start talking to Van Jones. Does he know anything? Because I posted this. This is not a lone wolf incident. This has got planning. They knew he's going to Utah. Oh, Utah's safe. This is where we can get in and get him. And Alex Jones said it's going to be gunmen from parking garages. That's the easiest way. Easiest way to bring guns in. You drive them in your truck or in your car, pop open the trunk, there it is. Or just go from the back of an SUV and have a driver and you take off. So we'll play that CNN video that I played yesterday. Seems very, very, very interesting now. Let's go to Ahmed in New York. Wants to talk about Charlie Kirk and InfoWars. Go ahead, Ahmed.
What's going on, Rob? We haven't spoke ever before. I just wanted to say what up, Rob. Nice hey. To greet you. My name is Ahmed. I'm from New York. Been calling InfoWars for a long time, man, and I'm grateful for InfoWars and how it shows what he did and what he continues to do. But I just wanted to say, just like how we're grateful about InfoWars, even though Charlie Kirk, he does praise, I don't want to use this as a point to attack him. But I do remember the gentleman didn't shake Ms. Schroeder's hand before. And it was because he was InfoWars. And I remember InfoWars at a point was considered conspiracy and tin hat. We were the first ones like spreading the message, and to see everybody, you know, basically kiss our arse at this point, I appreciate it. But just remember how the tides turn, and like this, how the tides turn, things, the truth will always favor the ones that always steer with the truth. So the truth of the matter is, InfoWars has always been attacked. The InfoWarriors has always been attacked, and they will always continue to be attacked. But that's just the way it is, because there's a lot of trilateral movement, unilateral movement between everything around the world, and how people don't like when you expose truth and you expose light. It's unfortunate. The gentleman has kids, and he has a wife. That's really hard. And God willing, he comes back strong, and he's breathing, and the guy can continue spreading his movement of truth. Whether people don't like or accept his message, it's not for you to understand. It's for you to realize when you're in America, your opinion matters, and we have to sit at the table and figure it out together. Because if we don't have an open forum and an open debate about subjects that affect our lives, such as Mr. Kirk's today, we will never come unifying together as people and as a true republic. And we will forever be divided with each other. And that goes for Democrats, Republicans. It goes for independents. Everybody, if you do not like your opinion, my opinion, his opinion, her opinion, at the end of the day, there should be debate about it.
Sure.
And there should always be a conversation about it.
Let me respond to that as we're about to go to break, Ahmed. I appreciate your calling. And and you made a lot of great points. I'll say this. There's a picture of Charlie with one of his kids. You know, everybody can be a victim of propaganda. There's a lot of people on the right, a lot of people that always thought InfoWars and Alex Jones were, should be shunned. And, you know, Charlie probably fell victim to some of that. But you know what? Alex Jones eventually got invited to a TP Action event. So there's always a redemption arc for everybody. But hey, we're still standing strong and we're still here. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back.
I just read your tweet to the audience. Are you hearing that from people who are in a position to know that Charlie
isn't,
that he's alive and that he's in critical?
I am. I spoke to somebody in a position who knows, who said he has a pulse. So that's good news. Good news. I have to tell you, Nate, my daughter was at the tent. She's 19 years old.
Oh, God.
And she's on her way home now.
You know, people could also call and say, hey, Alex Jones had beef with Glenn Beck, too. And, you know, but here's the deal. We kept putting out the truth. And these people finally woke up. Here's from Desert News. Charlie Kirk shot at Utah event. Suspect not in custody. Yeah. So there were reports of a guy being arrested earlier, and we played the video of the witnesses saying, no, that guy didn't do it. From Michael Levinson, police determined that the person who was taken into custody after the shooting was not actually the shooter, according to Scott Trotter, a university spokesman. The university had earlier said a suspect was in custody. Here's another angle of this. I think the last thing Charlie said was gang violence before he was shot. About gang violence, because everybody was talking about the senseless murder that happened last month that we're finally just seeing, and we saw the graphic footage of a young woman having her throat sliced 3 times. So, and watching Glenn Beck, he's scared for his daughter. I'm going to turn off my phone because I'm getting inundated. Glenn Beck's scared for his daughter right now because he knows how close she was to this. And that's one of the weird things about having kids. I've got four of them. So one of the weird things is you have your kids, you want them to go out and do things. You want them to be careful, but also you don't want them to be too careful. You don't want them to live in fear. You don't want them to live afraid to go outside. You want them to go out and see the sunshine and go out to events and stuff. But you do also have to have your head on a swivel and you have to have your mind right. That's what you have to do. I'm going to play that CNN video in a little bit, but let's go to Trenton, Texas. Let's talk about Charlie and the lady on the train. Go ahead, Trent. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Hold on, let me take a speakerphone. Yes, sir. I just wanted to say you're doing a really good job on hosting the War Room. First of all, I'd like to pray for Charlie.
Go ahead.
Lord God, please send the legions of angels to surround Charlie and his family. Please let him live. Please save his life. In your son's holy name, please, Lord God, save this man's life. He did not deserve this. Now, next point is the girl. I feel like if we have an app that women can only download, they have to have an ID, prove they're a woman. Men need to be very vetted for this, and it's a walk-you-home escort type of app. Ex-military, active military, off-duty cops, just a nearby police officer possibly, just trustworthy, good people like the Proud Boys, please bring back insane asylums. I'm a very emotional person. You know me personally, sir. I'm the guy with the kids' books. I just want to say I love you all very much. I love you all very much. Prayers for Charlie. I really want to stop this. It's killing me. I can't even watch that video of that girl. It made me start crying.
Yeah.
I love you all so much, bro, and I'm so sorry that this happened to both of them, and we need to stop it, and it can be done. That's all I had to say, sir. But my books are on Barnes & Noble, Trent Frommeyer. That's all I really have, brother.
All right. Thanks for calling, Trent. Appreciate it. Thank you for that prayer. And that's one thing we do need to do. We all need to pray. Pray for Charlie that he has a recovery. Pray that he gets out of this and comes back even stronger, because people have survived worse. You know, it doesn't look good, but we all have to stay strong and stay committed to what's right. That's what we have to do. I'm going to have Stuart Rhodes coming in next hour. And then at 5 o'clock, he's going to take over hosting, but me and him are going to co-host here for an hour. We'll continue to take your calls, and I've got to go. If you keep wondering why I'm leaving early on these days, I'm working on a couple special projects with Alex, and it's going to definitely be making headlines in the next week or so, 2 weeks. So just be prepared. Alex said it, you know, Charlie Kirk, a Viking warrior. And he's still kicking. So, all right, let's go to the CNN video. Oh, no, first, actually, let's watch some of the sickening left. This is posted on Libs of TikTok. I forgot about this. It's only 20 seconds, but this is them celebrating because these people love death and destruction. Here it is.
I'm not saying she deserved it, but I'm saying God's timing is always right.
And goodness knows the wicked's lives are lonely.
Yeah, these are people that cry when somebody misgenders them. So, yeah, let me tell you, the left doesn't want a real hot civil war. These people aren't gonna save you. They're not gonna do anything. Let's go to that CNN clip, which I think probably led up to this. Somebody, either that was the call that went out, We got to silence people like Charlie Kirk. And we can't silence them with facts and figures, so they can't silence them with protests. So what can they do? Oh, we're going to go shoot him. Here's that CNN video.
Voters, once they called attention to it.
So certain people have been looking for an opportunity to find a case like this, to make a point like this. I want to play, this is Charlie Kirk, why he says this hasn't gotten a lot of attention.
A white Ukrainian refugee was murdered just because she was white. Everybody knows that, obviously. If a random white person simply walked up to and stabbed a nice law-abiding black person for no reason, it would be an apocalyptically huge national story used to impose national sweeping political changes on the whole country. Instead, Megan Basham, no one seems to care when a white woman gets stabbed to the death.
Wow. He said white a lot.
Well, we are talking about it here. So I guess I don't think that's fair. Look, being in the system, because I have represented people who are mentally ill. And here's the balance. The balance is taking away people's freedom versus evaluating their mental illness. In New York City, there are a lot of programs for people who are mentally ill, but they have to want to be there.
Yeah, and it's super
about
difficult
forcing them to be there.
When you are mentally ill, you have a hard time knowing that you are mentally ill. But also, I mean, people like Charlie Kirk, Van, they've been looking for opportunities to make this some sort of like reciprocal George Floyd situation. And that's the part that I think he's almost giving away the game. And it's sad to see a lot of people going along with it.
You know, let me just say a couple of things. One is, I mean, what happened to that young woman was horrible. And it's everybody's nightmare. If you're in any public space, a subway, whatever, that something bad is going to happen to you or somebody you care about. So it does strike a chord. We don't know why that man did what he did. And for Charlie Kirk to say, we know he did it because she's white, when there's no evidence of that, it's just pure race mongering, hate mongering. It's wrong. Then he says that if something like that had happened the other way, there would be sweeping changes imposed on society. Where is the George Floyd Policing Act? It didn't pass. Even when you had a white police officer murder a black man on live television, the whole world saw, there were no sweeping changes. In fact, not one law was passed at the federal level. So I think that's an important thing to point out. The other thing is, you mentioned the thing about cashless bail. I think this is a big challenge that we have. Would you have felt better if there had been cash bail and the mom had come and put down $1,000 to let him out? It's not about cashless bail or no cashless bail. It's about the fact that we don't know how to deal with people who are hurting in the way this man was hurting. Hurt people hurt people. What happened was horrible. But it becomes an opportunity for people to jump on bandwagons. And then for someone like Charlie Kirk, he should be ashamed of himself. No one mentioned the word race, white, black, or anything except him. What people mentioned is the horror of what happened to this young woman.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am I'm sorry to report Donald Trump just posted this at 3:40 p.m. We're at 3:44. The great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie. He was loved and admired by all, especially me, and he is no longer with us. Melania, and my sympathies go out to his beautiful wife, Erica, and family. Charlie, we love you. So September 10th, 2025, Charlie Kirk was murdered in cold blood for speaking. What does that tell you about the power of speech? What does that tell you why they try to silence people? Because they are afraid of what people will say and how people will react. So we've gone from a shooting to now at 3:40, President Trump announced that Charlie Kirk is indeed passed on. Max in Wisconsin. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
I just wanted to say God bless Charlie Kirk. I think there's a fast track for people like him who fight the good fight on their way to get into heaven. And I think he's going to be remembered for a long time. And what he did was incredibly brave for years, going out and doing what so many Americans are too afraid to do, is confronting the beast system face to face and on the college campuses. He was incredibly brave. Obviously, he knew that this was in the cards, that something like this could happen, and he did it nevertheless. So I think he's a true American patriot for what he did over the years. And I think we should all, learn from him and learn from this. The tricky part now, unfortunately, is that we can't be too cowardly, that there's not some sort of response. But also, if there's too bad of a response, it can be used against us downstream. And lastly, it's a little hard for me to swallow that some old white guy in shorts is the shooter. So I definitely think there's probably other shooters, and the Justice Department needs to really clamp down on assassin agencies that are operating in the open on the dark web in America, and that Cash Patel and the feds should get on that, because obviously we can't have assassins running around the U.S., because this is probably just going to keep happening, things like this. Reminds me similar of what happened in the Balkans when the rhetoric gets hot, the assassination starts. And after the shootings, they do the clampdown on guns, and then people just switch to using truck bombs and arson. You know, so it's a tough situation that America's in, but I think we can pull through this as long as we stick to our guns, as long as we stick to our Christianity and the policies that we've already set forth, and not waver in the face of evil. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I posted this about 2:38. I hope the DOJ is getting serious in light of the Charlie Kirk shooting. These people will not stop, and now they will feel emboldened and will escalate. Start arresting the criminals. When you don't arrest people, especially those at the top that are calling for this day in and day out, then you have events like this, and it's just going to keep getting worse. These people need to feel fear. They need to feel fear, and they need to come to the right side.
It looks to me in the video that the bullet hit his collarbone or some bone through the chest, deformed, and then ricocheted off through the neck, which is usually fatal, because when the bullet gets all deformed like that and goes around the body, it causes lots of bleeding.
Well, he might have had some sort of vest on underneath his T-shirt. From that side shot, you can kind of see it dark under parts of it. But, you know, and that could have deformed the bullet and had it go in a different direction. But it looked like where it hit was pretty close. You can kind of see some discoloration. If you go back to the beginning of the clip, you can see him talking before. That was the moment Charlie was shot and then later died in the hospital. So you see when he leans forward, there's a... So he indeed might have had something on that hit the vest, hit a bone, and then shot up and got him in the neck. I'm sure there'll be a press conference soon. We'll go to that live whenever it takes place. Guys, be monitoring that. But in response to that Van Jones clip, Charlie Kirk responded directly to Van, who called out Charlie Kirk as a focal point, as someone to watch. Van Jones, I'm not ashamed, but you should be. You are part of the media cabal that tried to silence this story because it exposes the gross incompetence of Democrats' so-called criminal justice reform. You and other talking heads on TV are complicit in the revolving door that lets these violent criminals roam our streets to maim and murder. Secondly, there was no George Floyd Criminal Justice Reform Act, because it would have been a disaster and cooler heads eventually prevailed when we started challenging the D.C. media establishment. George Floyd died of a drug overdose after a lifetime of destroying his body with illegal substances. BLM burned down American cities and terrorized businesses for a criminal who didn't cooperate with police. His friends did, and they are alive today. How many black and brown people died post-Floyd because police were afraid to go into urban neighborhoods for fear of being scapegoated if something went wrong? And yes, of course, if the races were reversed, you'd be the loudest voice crying racism, Mr. Whitelash. The killer said, I got that white girl. Why did he say that, Van? Lastly, would you even be talking about this story if we hadn't raised the issue on social media? Of course not. Americans are sick of the lies and racial grievances built on fake news narratives. The propaganda is literally killing innocent people. I invite you to come on my show, Van Jones 68, and we can discuss this like men respectfully. It's one of the final tweets or posts of Charlie Kirk. And just a few minutes ago, just 11 minutes ago, Trump truthed the great and even legendary Charlie Kirk is dead. No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie. He was loved and admired by all, especially me, and now he is no longer with us. Melania and my sympathies go out to his beautiful wife, Erica, and family. Charlie, we love you. You know, I hope Charlie was able to give his kids a big hug before he left and his wife. Because there's always a last time when things happen. I was telling my my youngest son, he was talking about hitting jumps on his bike. And I was telling him about the woods we used to go out and jump in. And I said, you know, I didn't realize one time that I went out there, it would be the last time that I ever went out there. Because now they built neighborhoods where those woods are. But we had a great dirt bike track and really cool jumps. But one time, it's just the last time. You don't know that. You don't know when the last time's going to be. So cherish the time you have. Make the best of it. Charlie Kirk was making the best of his time. And he will be remembered. And he will be celebrated for the work he did. He started an amazing organization. And it wasn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. We all have our flaws, and that's what makes us human. All right, let's go to Dean in Arkansas. Say to the country, Charlie Kirk. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, it's James in Arkansas. But,
James, okay. You know what it is, yeah, that thick Arkansas accent?
That's what it is. It's hard to understand, and I'm a professional truck driver, so my audio may not be that great, but I listen to you guys 10 hours a day. I've been listening to Alex for 15 years, and I'm a VIP member. I urge everybody to go out there and get the methylene blue, get the shirts. I'm wearing an Alex Jones hat right now, 1776, answered the 1984 shirt that hat. But these people, obviously this was an attack on Charlie, but it wasn't just an attack on Charlie. It's an attack on all of them, kind of like NATO, you know. When they hit him, they hit us all. When the transgenders shoot up little Christian schools and kill these children, they're not just killing the children. They're trying to kill all of us into silence. When they're not trying to do that, they're trying to, you know, manipulate and warp young minds and destroy them before they get a chance, you know. And we've really got to stand up and do something about that. And I urge every single person that's hearing me right now to go to that store and to support, because Alex Jones, Harrison Smith, you, Rob Dew, Stuart Rhodes, all of y'all are leading the charge right now. And there's one spot that you can go to find all of y'all and to support all of y'all, and that's the alexjonesstore.com. Go there and pitch in, you know, help out. Because nobody, you know, Fox isn't going to stand up for us. CNN is actively against us. You know, y'all are the only ones that are actively trying. And, you know, after today, I'm sure there's going to be many more like me. This is the first time I've ever called in 15 years. But I'm sure there's many more voices that are going to be born today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, people are sick and tired, and they're having enough. But I got a question for you, James. We posted this today, actually. Danger, USPS allowing illegal alien truckers to drive during the holiday season. Illegal immigrant drivers will be banned from working for USPS beginning in 2026. Now, you're out on the road a lot. Do you have a lot of encounters with people that you feel should not be driving trucks?
Oh, absolutely. We call them turbine Suburbans. It's your Cascadias and stuff, the real cheap Freightliner trucks. And you'll see them wearing their turbines. They can't speak English. There's usually four or five of them legitimately and packed inside the cab. And they'll cut a hole in the passenger's floorboard so they never have to stop for fuel. They'll just switch out and take a dump underneath the truck as they're driving.
God.
They can't speak English. It's terrible. And that those same people, a great example just happened the other day, that Singh feller, he made a completely retarded turn and yeah. ended up killing a whole bunch of, I believe, Haitians that were there.
Yeah.
But that same guy tried to drive his truck across a wooden bridge not 60 miles from my house, fully loaded.
Wow.
It never should have ever been on the road. They go to these trucking academies. One of them is called Punjab, and they're in out of California, and they rubber stamp these guys' licenses and just throw them out there. And you can, Rob, you can spot them on the interstate. A lot of them will have a sticker on the sleeper of the truck that shows just an outline, you know, a figure of a head wearing those odd turbans that the Indians wear. And it'll say, this is what a freedom fighter looks like in my country.
Hmm.
On the side of a truck.
Wow.
In the United States. You know, if they're a freedom fighter, what are they doing here?
Yeah, exactly. They should be fighting for freedom in their country.
Your country.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's my whole problem with illegal immigration to begin with. You flee to a better place. Why not stand and fight where you're at and make where you're at?
All right, we're going to go to Alex Jones here in a second. I just want to point out Charlie Kirk was answering a question about rampant left-wing violence in America when he was shot. So don't forget that. That is what he was talking about. Alex, are you there? You're live.
Yes, I am. One of our old trusted associates and friends who's worked in the Defense Department, three letter agencies, you name it. He knows the security that was on the ground in Utah. And he said Charlie was basically dead minutes after it happened. And they just did not respond. So I broke that a few minutes before Trump confirmed it. I love the trolls on X. Oh, yeah, you don't know. It's very, very sad. It's just a terrible thing.
I think
from October.
I think we lost you a little bit. Go repeat what you just said. Repeat what you just said because we kind of lost you. It got garbled there for a second. He dropped. Okay. When he calls back, just let me know. There's probably a lot of people calling people right now. I got Stuart Rhodes with me in studio. Benny Johnson also said, you can hear the crack of a rifle in this video from approximately 100 yards. I am burning with righteous anger. Pray right now for Charlie and his family. But the big point is he was answering a question that somebody had about rampant left-wing violence in America. And the media doesn't want to talk about it. The media wants to sweep it under the rug, but it's here. And it looks like we've got SWAT driving around where the campus is in Utah. It's in Orin, Utah, I believe. And did you learn anything while you were taking your 1 hour break from
hosting Alex? No, I'm hearing conflicting reports about the shooter. Some people saying they got him, and others saying they don't have him.
Yeah, the guy that they were showing arrested was not the guy. And so I think he's still at large, which is probably why you're seeing a SWAT presence roaming around. They're looking for this guy. Like I said, if it came from a parking garage, you could shoot from the car, roll up that back window, and be gone if you had another driver within like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Once you made that shot, you're out.
And the old guy could have been, you know,
a decoy.
Decoy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a patsy. Yep. Yeah. I'm pissed too. I mean, I agree with Johnson.
Yeah. We all, I'm getting texts from people. They're pissed. A lot of people are pissed. Yeah.
I'm getting texts from a lot of veterans saying it's go time, but I don't want to see us react with violence.
No,
just to this. But yeah. It is time for us to stand up, and you got to take a war footing.
Yeah,
we're at war, and you have to be. You know, I really hate to say it, but his security team did not cover those
Well, they probably thought they were in Utah. They probably thought they were in friendly territory. I think you ought to assume that friendly territory is hostile territory at this point.
Yeah, you have to assume a rifle threat. That's the problem, is that a lot of protection teams are great at close protection, you know, watching the crowd and keeping people off the stage and things like that. But they have to look at this as a rifle threat. It's a war footing. Yeah. You're in a war zone. That's the way it should be.
Every angle from, what, 300 yards out should be covered?
Yeah, I would go 500 yards at least, yeah. And, you know, outdoor venues are higher risk, just the way it is. Indoor venue is going to be safer. I'm not saying you shouldn't do an outdoor venue, but if you do, the security team has got to take into account, you know, they got to occupy the high ground.
So Alex was reporting that from his source who knew the security team that he was pretty much dead when he got shot. I mean, you could see the blood pouring out right there. I mean, it didn't look good, but we all wanted to pray. We saw Glenn Beck saying he still has a pulse. He got it from a report from somebody. Maybe they just didn't know how to respond. They didn't want to say he was, you know, that maybe they had him hooked up to a machine that was giving him a pulse.
Well, they're going to notify the family first, and they have to wait until after that before they tell the public.
Yeah.
So.
And we saw President Trump tweeting at 3:40 p.m. today, Central Time, that Charlie Kirk had indeed passed. You could see some overhead shots going on in the campus area. It looks like they're on lockdown at this point. They're going to try to find this guy. I mean, obviously, if they thought they had the shooter, that gave the shooter time to maneuver. Guys, let me know if Alex calls back in. We'll put him right through. And we'll go live to him. But yeah, he was reporting from his source that the shot was fatal from the outset. And that's kind of the consensus here when we saw it, especially that close up version. It was like, oh yeah, that doesn't
look good. We were praying, hoping he pulled through, but
yeah.
Didn't look good.
It's always weird things happen around September 11th. We've had a lot of weird incidents. This is September 10th, 2025, 3:40 PM. Donald Trump breaks the news that Charlie Kirk is indeed dead. He was loved and admired by all. And, you know, he really did have, coming from I guess he went to college for a semester and then realized it wasn't for him, that he was probably wasting his time. But he didn't abandon the college people. He said, I got to go and make it my mission to educate them on what's really going on. Because if you go to a university, any university really, we just saw some at Texas A&M where the student had to get up and educate the professor about Trump's executive order concerning transgenders and sexualizing, doing this DEI training.
Right.
And so
she called him out.
Yeah. You're going to see this. It happens at all universities. They're liberal cesspools. And the best way is to keep talking. Don't stop talking, but also situational awareness. Most people aren't going to be attacked. Charlie Kirk is a lightning target. Rod.
Right.
And I mean, here he is in dress pants playing in the sand with his kids. I mean, you know, they're not going to grow up with a dad who could probably recite most of parts of the Bible front and back, was committed to making this country a better place. And it was that commitment that got him killed today.
Yeah, exactly right. And I believe that Van Jones and the other leftist media have blood on their hands because they characterized Charlie Kirk as the racist when it was actually the killer
who
was openly racist.
Right.
He said why he stabbed her was because she was a white girl.
Yeah. He said, I got that white girl, which caused Charlie to put out a video, which then caused Van Jones to say, oh, this must be Charlie Kirk just making this into a race thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they do in George Floyd? They made it all a race thing. It's funny because these guys are about our age. Van Jones is probably a little bit older than me, but he grew up in a time in the 80s and 90s when race relations, I think, were pretty good. It wasn't all about race. It was about coming together and, you know, learning how to be Americans.
Yeah.
You know, it was until a lot Obama. Different since Obama. Yeah, when Obama got in, that was it.
Yeah, well, he's a communist. Van Jones is a communist. This is part of the communist ideology and their strategy. That's all this is. They know the truth.
Yeah.
But.
James in Arkansas, I'm going to let you finish up. Any of the callers, if Alex Jones pops in, I'm going to go right to him. So I may cut you off mid-sentence. Just be aware that you were finishing up, James. Go ahead. You're a trucker?
Yeah. Kind of to switch topics just a tad, you know, it's kind of changing fast, but this is a real war. It's a real civil war now, you know. Like y'all were just saying, that was the first shot fired, really, or the second at least. But we got to really know who the enemy is, and it's hard in this day and age because now they're hiding on mainstream media and in the WEF. They're sneaking into women's bathrooms or shooting our children in schools and our spokespeople, you know. They're flooding our communities with mentally ill super criminals and illegals. It's a strategic implosion of the Western society that we've fought to create for the last two or three centuries. I just wish it was so easy today to spot the enemy in a red coat.
Right. Yeah, they're not wearing a uniform.
That's the problem with civil wars. That's the problem with communist insurgencies, is they're going to hide. They look like us, you know. And so you have to just have, like you said before, you got to have your head on a swivel and just understand the fifth-generation warfare environment you're in. You know, the threat is real. And if you're a conservative, if you're just flying a Trump flag or the Trump bumper sticker, you know, keep on doing that. Just understand that can make you a target, and just be ready for it. Just be a hard target.
Hey, James, good luck and good trucking tonight, buddy. Let's go to Brandon in Arizona. Chess game for gun control. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
Sure can. Go ahead.
Perfect. I appreciate you, Rob, everything you guys are doing. So I guess the chess game that I have on this, I mean, now it's tenfold. There's multiple ways of that they're killing birds with one stone. He was such a lightning rod and made such an impact at these universities. Every single university that he went to, he was helping change the narrative and the indoctrination of these kids. You think these kids are going to want to go to another rally? You think these kids are going to want to go back and do something like this if there is another Charlie Kirk 2.0 that steps up? So that's one. And then two, it's done in a, you know, somewhat of a strong state for the Second Amendment in Utah. You know, I'm not sure if it was a full gun-free zone area, but I'm out here in Arizona where it's still kind of the Wild Wild West. This is, I don't know. I wanted your guys' opinion if you think that this could be, along with the school shooting, kind of the cherry on top to strip away the Second Amendment and have that opportunity to do it. Because there's the left wing and there's a white right wing, but they're still all part of one bird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I'm sure they'll try. In fact, they're already saying that, ironically, Charlie Kirk was a big fan of the Second Amendment and actually gloating over that you know, he was killed by the guns that he supported and loved. That's going to be the spin, I'm sure. So we just have to understand that this is a, like you said, it's a war. They're trying to disarm us and manipulate the population into supporting that. Of course they'll do that. Can't let them disarm us, though. And I think that half the country, at least, is wide awake and aware there's no way we're ever going to give our guns up, no matter what. Can't.
And I can tell you this, if CNN was there broadcasting this, if they had a live feed going, they should definitely be investigated. They were also at President Trump's rally, and they didn't really go to many of his rallies. They kind of stopped doing it because they didn't want to give it.
Was CNN there today?
I don't know, but that's one thing I'm thinking about. Joe Biggs posted just now a slow motion close up of this. It's pretty hard to watch, but the shot looks like it comes from below up. So it looks like he was pretty close in the crowd. You know, I don't know if you guys pulled it up yet, but you can take a look at that right there and see what you think. It's a very slow motion shot, but it looks like it comes straight up from kind of over here, hits him right in the neck.
Hard to tell. Let me see.
It's going to play. It's going to keep repeating, yeah. But there, we got it on screen now, too, so you can see it.
Yeah, shirt flies up. It could just be the velocity
right. of it. It could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine if there was somebody in the front row or two rows back, they would have had eyeballs on him.
But it sounded like a rifle shot.
Yeah.
That might just be the velocity of the round.
And from that angle, it probably, you know, looks like it went through his neck, through his spinal cord, going to from his left to right. So, people, it's getting real now. This isn't MAGA meme time. They're literally killing people in the streets once again. Thanks, Brandon, for calling. Let's go to RC. Let's talk about global thermonuclear politics. Go ahead, RC.
Hey, y'all. I appreciate you filling in the gaps, Rob. It's been a long time, and it's nice to get reacquainted with your with you all and the way you do what you do.
Well, thanks. It's not a good day, though, to be on the air, I'll tell you that. This sucks.
No, it's not, and I appreciate earlier in the day I was listening to you guys, and yeah, it's not a good day.
No. You know, this is gonna change a lot of things. I think this is gonna, one, tighten up people's security. Nobody's playing around anymore, let me tell you. Nobody's going to, you know, you're going to see these situations, Stuart, where somebody's, oh, I'm just trying to get in. Is it? No. Nobody's getting in to see anybody at this point. It's right. Going to be locked down.
Yeah. I think everyone's going to tighten security up, and you should. Whether you're a public person or not, like I said, if you're someone that can identify as a Trump supporter, or hell, just because you're white, you might be targeted.
Yeah.
So just have your head on a swivel and be ready. You know, and we all need to tighten up.
And, you know, even though there's events like that, you're not going to stop. You're going out tonight to an event.
Speaking tonight.
Yeah.
I'm speaking at the Elgin, the Tree of Liberty Tavern in Elgin tonight.
I think you're going to see a massive amount of people show up because people are pissed, but they want to show that they're not afraid. I think it's the most important thing, that we show that we're not afraid.
That's right. So that's why we should, as fast as possible, go back on the college campuses and keep showing up and keep doing what he was doing. Carry on.
Yeah.
Carry the torch. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, don't let Charlie Kirk die in vain.
Nope. Don't let the bad guys win. Don't let them stop you from going on college campuses out of fear.
I mean, Charlie Kirk was born a year after I graduated high school. And he accomplished a lot.
Right. He's young, like 31 years old.
Yeah.
That's pretty young.
And I know Alex Jones is shooting a video. As soon as it pops up, we will get it on the air as well. We had a bit of a disconnect as he was trying to, he had a source who knew some of the security working with Charlie, and they said he was pretty much deceased by the time they got around the corner from driving wherever they were. There was, you know, a hospital close by. So we got authorities are still searching for the suspect in the shooting death, the mayor says. So local mayor urges people to report anything suspicious as shooting suspect remains at large. 14 minutes ago. Did y'all refresh that at all? Charlie Kirk, who helped build support for Trump among young people, dies after campus shooting. That's one of the final images of him right there. Pull that back up. That's not a man attacking people. That's a man donning the armor of God and trying to save this country. Yeah, people are saying, you know, that's a slow motion shot. It looks like it's short from up front, but you can see a security guy right behind him scanning that area, what it came from.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
So... I mean, it sounded like a rifle shot, but that's, you know, it's hard to tell.
It's also in an area, it seems like there's a lot of echoes in that area, like it was designed to carry sound, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be curious to know what kind of round it was. If it was a rifle shot, then it's probably longer range.
Yeah.
I doubt it'd be that close.
Well, he probably didn't, like I said, he thought he was in safe territory.
Well, I mean, it's not just that. I think security teams have got to broaden their threat profile. Mm-hmm. It can't just be, you know, close range, handgun threats. That's what most of them train to counter. Obviously, the president, they take into consideration the possibility of snipers. But I think any prominent conservative out there who has an outdoor event of any kind, you have to take into account snipers. I mean, we did when we did security for
it. And you've done a lot of security.
Yeah, we've done a lot of voluntary security. And I would always, like a parking garage, big-time threat.
Yeah.
I would always post guys in the parking garage if we could, if the cops would let us. But I think a security team, it should be a non-negotiable. Don't rely on local law enforcement or campus police to do it right. You got to make sure your own people are up there. If you can't do that, then you call it off and go indoors.
Right.
That's what you have to do.
Well, you know, also all it takes is a couple cops start looking at their phones or whatever, or making a call. And
I mean, campus police, some of them are good. I've known some that are pretty squared away, but a lot of them, you know, just rent a cops.
Yeah.
They're just going through the motions for their shift. You got to have someone that's really on point, that's watching everyone going in the garage.
Purpose-driven security.
That's right, and doing routine patrols through the garage.
Yeah.
Frequent patrols.
And checking people going in. Who's coming into this garage right now? Who's
exactly.
this?
Yeah, you put an eyeball on everybody that's coming in the garage, anybody acting suspicious.
Yeah.
But like we saw with President Trump, the assassination attempt on him down in Florida, that guy's car parked there for, 9 hours while he was hiding in the bushes?
Yeah, he was in there for several hours in the bushes.
Yeah, hiding in the bushes, his car parked there. None of the local cops, as an example, none of the local cops thought that was funny and checked out that car. So you can't rely on local police to do the job right. Security teams have got to take it in their own hands to watch out for rifle threats.
All right, let's go to Chris in Oklahoma. Chris wants to talk about police, and police and the conservatives have to unite. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, sir. I'm trying to speak on Stuart Rhodes' point of how felons and the legal system has totally screwed us. Does that make any sense?
I mean, so you're a felon yourself?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm in the same boat you're in right now. I know what it's like. It sucks.
Well, mine's not quite as honorable as yours. I promise. I got a divorce. I was sleeping in a bar parking lot, and a cop come up and hit me with a nice stick, and I beat the shit out of him. And that cost me a nickel. And but I do believe that we have to bring this thing together so we can stand united, because your criminals, you know as well as I do, we're strong men. We're not rollover Play-Doh dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, amen.
So I agree with your opinion. I don't know how to do it.
I mean, hey, you know, I right now I can't carry a firearm, but I carry what I can. So that's what I would say to you is make sure that you're prepared as prepared as you can be with what you can own. But I agree. I think that just like your First Amendment rights are not destroyed forever when you get out of prison, no matter what you're accused of, I think the same should be for the Second Amendment. When you've paid your debt to society and you've come back out of prison, you should have your rights restored. I agree. It shouldn't be treated any different than the First Amendment.
And if you were to get a pardon, then that would be it. You'd be fine, right?
Right. But to his point, there are a lot of guys out there like him. He got in a fight with a cop.
Yeah.
He did 5 years, right? So, you know, he was charged with felony assault on a police officer. But does that mean that he should have his rights completely destroyed for the rest of his life? I don't think it should be. I think there should be a change in that. We have to respect the Second Amendment same way we do the First Amendment. So, for example, if a guy is charged with, you know, whatever his charge might be related to First Amendment speech, like threatening somebody, and he does his jail time, does his prison time, when he gets out, he doesn't lose the right to free speech. That's restored when he comes back out of prison. Same should be for your gun rights. I agree with that.
People magazine is reporting Charlie Kirk was shot dead by a suspect in building 200 yards away. So that's a wide security perimeter.
Right.
I mean, that's huge, which tells me it was not a lone wolf. That took a lot of planning. There's another shot of them carrying Charlie to a van or an SUV to get him to the hospital.
It's hard to say. It could have been a lone wolf. We'll see. But I'm suspicious.
Yeah. Well, my money's on a big, big operation.
Coordinated, right?
Yeah. Well, we just learned that the shot that took Charlie Kirk's life came from a building about 200 yards away. Ian Carroll just posted, I know it's too soon, but this was a professional shot. Not that Ian Carroll's a military genius by any stretch. I think he would even admit that. But he shares my sentiments that it was a professional shot and a secure venue, and it wasn't random. Looks like the guy arrested was not the shooter, based on reporting coming out now. It was a political assassination with complex planning involved. Be very careful in the information space around it. And then I found a couple of these headlines. The New Republic posted, MAGA troll Charlie Kirk shot during speaking event at university.
Yeah, how disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, and Champagne Joshy said, if you need convincing that evil exists, and he points to that. Alex Jones has sent me this. Charlie Kirk faced evil without fear, struck truth where cowards hid, built a movement no one can ever replace. Rest in peace. His courage, impact, and legacy are eternal and unmatched. I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
And that's why they murdered him.
Yeah. He was too powerful, and he had to be silenced. And he wasn't running around with guns. He wasn't running around intimidating people like a gang. He would show up at events, and he would take what you said and pull it back at you.
Right. He would debate people.
Yeah. Who posted that? It says September 2025 when everything changed. Tony Moon, Roof Korean 7. You know, those guys did it before anybody was doing it. They were Second Amendment aficionados, and they went out and protected their businesses. They didn't wait for the police. They didn't wait for the firemen. They said, nope, we're going to protect our businesses.
Right, which is what has to happen.
Yeah. Yep. And you guys went out to Ferguson after Ferguson started getting crazy, and y'all were protecting businesses. And
same thing on the rooftops.
Yeah.
That's where you go. Yep. You want to occupy a space.
Right. The high ground.
Take the high ground. You got to take the high ground. Have to. If you don't, your enemy's going to take it.
All right. Austin in Missouri is asking the question, how should we respond? Actually, Stuart saw that and brought that up and says, hey, you know, how should we respond? Let's hear what Austin has to say. Go ahead, Austin.
Well, I think Charlie Kirk, he was fearless in bearing his cross, and this isn't something new. He was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he did it. He set quite the example, and I think it would honor him if it started a movement for Americans in the world to pick up and bear their cross fearlessly. I know he wouldn't want us to be scared, and he'd want us to rise to the occasion and let this really be a reminder to the left and the workers of darkness that this is only going to magnify the kingdom of God, and that will really put a hampering in what they were attempting to do and place fear in our heart. It's really just going to activate us. So, I think you're right. Whenever we need to start calling it what it is, that was an assassination. But there's no greater honor than to be persecuted in the name of carrying forth the glory of God. So, I mean, really, what an honor to leave this world doing God's work, and his family doesn't have to question, you know, what's his destination. He was unapologetically a Christian, you know, through even when he went into the hornet's nest.
I would say he was enthusiastically a Christian.
That's right.
He never made any apologies about it. He was enthusiastically a Christian. He would enthusiastically quote the Bible back at you. I would say enthusiasm was his moniker.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. But, Collar, you're right. I think that, he walked the path. He walked his talk, and he walked the path. And we should do the same. We should not let this deter us. We should take this and use it as fire, you know, fire in our bellies to stand up, because they can't kill us all.
No.
We all need to stand up together and just, you know, we take precautions, but continue to drive on. And yeah, I also agree with another caller that said we should do vigils on every college campus. I agree with that too. You know, let's make it known that we're not going to let them silence us on college campuses.
We can't live in fear. We cannot live in fear. We cannot, because that's how they, that's what they want us to do. They want us to be afraid to come together. They want, oh, somebody else could get shot. They want to be people to be afraid about speaking and outdoor events. They want to be, they want us to live in fear, and we can't live in fear. We have to stand up. We have to be strong.
Yep. Amen.
Austin, anything else?
Yeah, I think we should all fast and pray. Yes, Charlie Kirk left this world, but I see it as his graduation day. He had suffered the amount of persecution that God was willing to allow this world to throw at him, and today's like his graduation day, and he did a great job and left a great example for us to follow.
Amen. Yeah, a good example of Christian courage. Absolutely. I agree.
Charlie Kirk posted this 7 hours ago. In response to Van Jones saying white people have a virus in their brain that can activate in an instant. I think he said this a while back, but he posted this, that all white people have a virus in their brain is legitimately one of the most racist things I've ever heard. So he seemed to really be brewing a beef with Van Jones. And, you know, Van Jones just ran into a lot of money a few years ago. $100 million he got given to him by Jeff Bezos to go forth, and we haven't seen him do much with it. I haven't, it's other than go on CNN. I haven't seen him like build a media presence or anything other than, I don't know what he's doing with this money. And yeah, I'm getting texts from everybody I know out of the woodwork, and they're all saying the same thing. They're trying to start a civil war. So we can't take the bait. We have to stand up. And we cannot live in fear. Don't live in fear out there.
But get yourself ready.
That, yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. So get yourself, don't be an idiot.
Yeah. Get yourself squared away and get yourself ready. You know, and organize with your neighbors and your friends.
Yeah.
And get tight and get ready. Fight's coming.
Because obviously they have not come to play, whoever took out Charlie.
Nope.
They're serious.
And it probably won't be the last one, obviously. I think it's going to be... just the beginning, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Jim in Colorado, where they had a school shooting today. And they haven't found that suspect either. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. I want to just basically state that I feel like probably everyone listening to this right now, I'm saddened for his family. I'm sickened that this happened. But mostly, I am pissed. We don't know who the shooter was yet. We all have a pretty good idea, but that's yet to be proven. However, we do know the reaction from the left. And going to something that Stewart just said, he said they can't kill us all. But I'll tell you this, if they could, they would.
That's right.
They don't want us around. Charlie Kirk was a patriot. He fought with words as his weapons, and they used a real weapon to take his life because they could not destroy his words. And we all need to think about that and respond accordingly with our words. They can't defeat those. And one thing that I am really bothered by is that in the last week, we've had the train stabbing. And we were told not to watch this video because it's too gruesome. And now we're being told by Fox News, we have a video, but you shouldn't see the death of Charlie Kirk. I'm going to tell everyone listening right now to watch those videos. Because what those videos do is they take the essence of evil and they turn it into reality. And we need to face what is going on in this nation right now and handle it. That's the question. How do we handle it? But Charlie Kirk was a patriot. Now he's a martyr. And I pray for his family, and I pray for this nation.
Well, Trump said yesterday, thank you for calling, Jim. Appreciate it. Trump said yesterday we have to be vicious in our response in talking about the attack on the train.
Well, we need to take the gloves off when it comes to, like you said, they can't. I said they can't kill us all, but his point's well taken. If they could, they would.
Oh yeah.
You're seeing. I mean, I think the best thing you can do is magnify their response and show the whole country what they are saying, how they're gloating and celebrating his murder. This is who your enemy is.
Because saying someone got shot and killed is one thing, but when you show it, it sure. really drives it home, especially the way that looks.
Show it, but also show the response by the left.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, the gloating.
Right.
Show, the, show gloating, the gloating, the celebration. MAGA troll shot.
Yeah, and they're celebrating it. So show that so that we understand the nature of the enemy we're facing.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
you,
so people don't get a misunderstanding about who we're facing.
Right, yeah. These are not people with goodwill. They hate you and they want you dead. This is what communists do throughout history. It should be no surprise. If they could, they would round us all up and put us in mass graves, but yeah. they can't, and they're not going to because we're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
So,
and they know that, so this is the only way they can go at us now. These little snipe attacks, finding somebody alone, secluded,
mm-hmm.
and they attack. They never come at you head on.
So back to what we were talking about on break, you mentioned a really good point that Ashley Babbitt was also shot in the neck.
Yeah.
And yet the man who murdered her, she was an unarmed Air Force veteran, about 120 pounds, shot almost point blank in the neck by an armed security, or armed by a police officer, mm-hmm. deputy police officer, Michael Byrd. He should have been prosecuted, should still be prosecuted, and yet he's not yet been prosecuted for her murder. That needs to be handled.
And I don't even know if he should have been carrying a gun. I think one of the stories was he left the gun in the bathroom one day and somebody right. found it.
Yeah, so he was, you know, same thing, a DEI hire yeah. And a retainer. He was a violent person. He fired shots at a vehicle in his neighborhood because he's pissed off about something. So he's got a bad track record, but yet he was rewarded and praised as a hero by the left, even though he murdered Ashley Babbitt in cold blood. So he needs to be prosecuted now by the DOJ under Pam Bondi. And she's not doing that. There's no excuse for it.
Well, and Trump said anybody who kills anybody in the Capitol, he said they should get the death penalty.
Well, let's start with Michael Byrd. He killed yeah. someone in the Capitol. So that has to happen. And here's the thing. If the Trump administration and the powers that be don't bring these people to justice who are obvious murderers, then the American people eventually will just take it in their own hands. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, at some point we're going to get tired of waiting. There needs to be action. There needs to be action. These people that are calling for violence need to be sat down forcefully and either have their lives and liberty taken away and put in jail or scared shitless. You know, something has to happen.
Well, the ones that are celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder, you can't do much about that except to expose them and let that be a teaching tool
yeah.
to teach our fellow Americans where we're at. But if they're plotting and planning, absolutely. Like, frankly, the ones that are having this, you know, the 86-47, that kind of stuff, I consider that incitement. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, it's incitement to murder.
Former FBI director, James Comey.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know what that meant. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. All right. Did we go to Grant, Minnesota? My mind's a little...
No.
We didn't go to Grant, Minnesota. All right. Grant in Minnesota, Charlie Kirk media rhetoric. Yeah. Some of it's pretty outstanding what they're doing. These people are insane.
Yeah, no, it is. And first, I just want to say, absolute honor to talk to anybody on the InfoWars crew. I've been listening since 2012 when I was in high school. I'm 30 now. And I just want to say that Alex Jones at InfoWars woke me up to the stuff that's going on in the world. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to say that it's terrible what happened to Charlie Kirk. And it's just insane that people are getting violent over just having opposing views. Because at the end of the day, it just goes to show that the pen is literally mightier than the sword. It doesn't matter if we're saying the words or they're saying the words. The rhetoric that they are putting on us, it's powerful. And these people that are deranged on the other side, when they hear the words like Trump is Hitler and his supporters are bad, and, you know, we need to be putting re-education camps and all this stuff, it's just going to activate these people to think that we are the bad guys. Like, you know, they call us racist all the time. They're doing all this stuff when I don't have a racist bone in my body. I am not a bad person. literally, I love everybody. And I just want people to just understand that at the end of the day, we're not enemies. And the fact that they're letting the pen control their thoughts so much that they want to go out and kill people, it's just insane. It makes no sense to me. And I don't mean to babble here, but, like, I have people in my own family that when Trump got shot, they were like, oh, I too bad he didn't die. And it's like, what is wrong with you? You know, it's like, why would you even wish that upon anybody? Like, I'm not a Joe Biden supporter at all, but I would have never wished upon his death at all. I would have never did it because I understand that words have power. And I think that's just all it is at the end of the day. At the end of the day, they're scared of us exposing what's going on out in the world, and it's going to wake people up to being like, there's something wrong in the world. And it's honestly disheartening, and it's just sad. Like, I just can't believe we've got so far in the world that people want to go out and commit acts of violence against one another when we're human beings.
Like you just said, it's the propaganda. They've been, I talked about this with Alex years ago. I was talking about the demonization of Trump supporters by the leftist media. And I said, ironically and sadly, these Antifa kids in the street, I said, when a civil war kicks off, and of course I was attacked for saying this, I said, when a civil war kicks off, we're going to wind up killing these Antifa kids who believe they're going to die in combat, believing they're actually fighting Nazis when all they're really doing is
fighting for the Nazis.
Fighting for fascists who are trying to destroy our country and against Americans. You just want to be left alone. That's all we really want, is just be left alone and left in our freedom.
Raise our families.
Right. Just don't try to oppress us. But they've been brainwashed to believe by the media, relentlessly brainwashed to believe that all Trump supporters are Nazis, anti-democratic, fascist, racist. And that they were told that by every branch of the deep state. Not just the media, but also the friggin' judges in the Jake Six trials, by Biden himself, you know, that horrible thing he did in front of the Independence Hall with a red backlighting and two Marine Corps guards standing there calling MAGA the greatest threat to democracy. All of that is meant to create more of this, to get leftists to believe, sincerely believe, that we're Nazis that are going to destroy their freedom and our country. And they're projecting onto us what they're actually doing, but they're using these people as useful idiots. And a lot of them, really, they're victims of the propaganda, but they're dangerous victims of the propaganda who will kill you if they get a chance, who will gloat and celebrate your death when you're killed if they get a chance. So that's just the reality we live in. Like, I'm sure there were plenty of soldiers in wars past that we were fighting who believed all the stories they were told about Americans being devils. You know, whether it's the Japanese or the Germans, anybody we've ever faced, their governments will tell them that they're, you know, we're devils and we're demons. Same thing with the left. They're brainwashed to believe it, but that just makes them dangerous because they've been brainwashed to believe that.
We just showed some video that Alex Jones posted. Charlie Kirk's assassin can be seen on the roof of the Utah Valley University running away after the shooting. There, when you go back to it, you can see him running from the left up top. And then it's going to cut to a vertical video of a guy prone on the roof. You see him up there. See the little lump?
There he is.
The bump. Yeah. And so set up, ready to go.
And
I mean, is it possible that, you know, the same thing was happening with Trump? Look, they're pointing him out.
Yeah, no security is paying attention to that. There's no one on the rooftop.
How does this happen? How do we see things like this? How do people go up to law enforcement at Trump's rallies? Hey, there's a guy up on the roof. There's a guy up on the roof. And they're like, I don't know what to do.
I want to see the interviews from the witnesses who were saying, we saw this guy.
Yeah.
And I want to hear what they said.
If they even talked to anybody. Or maybe, did you just shoot a video like the guy on the train when the girl's dying? He's just shooting a video, you know, and now you're putting it out? Or did you tell somebody?
Look at that, dressed in black.
Jeez. I mean, it's obvious right there. Crazy. Stuart, I'm going to punch out here in a second. You're going to have a whole hour to yourself. Are you going to sit in this chair or stay in that one? What are you going to do?
I'll stay right here.
All right. And are you still having Ivan coming on?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to have Ivan Rickland come on. We'll talk about this, and we'll also talk about what we can do right now to the fight for Tina Peters.
Yeah.
That's another, she's a witness to the election fraud of 2020. She needs to be saved. I believe she's in danger, frankly.
Especially now.
Yeah.
I think the danger level on her life has gone up immensely.
Absolutely. You know, she's a hero. She's a hardcore whistleblower, and they want to silence her. That's why they put her in prison. But she's refused to be silenced, even in prison.
Guys, she put out an open letter a few days ago. See if y'all can find that and print it out. It's like a 2-page tweet she put out.
It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. You should have that and maybe read parts of it.
Sure.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
So you got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Well, let people know. I mean, you know, this is probably going to be the only plug I do today. But that's you going to our InfoWars, the AlexJonesStore.com, and getting, we're about to go to a press conference, it looks like, and go to the AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know, Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle of the pills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or
on the way over here. I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving? Or
absolutely,
yeah,
definitely. And it's I took a couple shots while I'm in here, in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue. And people can see you tonight at what's the name of the?
That's Liberty Bargain? Tree Tavern.
Liberty Tree Elgin. Tavern, yeah. In Elgin, Texas. So
Texas,
hey,
8 p.m.
Don't be afraid to show up. It's going to be an amazing event. I guarantee you there's a lot of, in Texas, there's a lot of people carrying.
A lot of veterans there. In fact, the band is run by veterans.
So there you go.
Yeah. So you'll be pretty safe. Come on out and have some fun.
You got the guitar. You got your rifle strap behind you if you need it. And so go check it out. You're on a quest now to rebuild Oath Keepers and get it back to where it was. I remember being there, one of the first meetings y'all had at the Shot Heard Around the World, incidentally enough, Lexington.
Lexington Green, right. You were there. Yeah. You were there with the film crew.
And I don't think people know, the guy brought up 2012, he started watching InfoWars. That's when me and Stuart were suing the city of Pittsburgh for my wrongful arrest.
Right.
So yeah. I've known Stuart for many years, and been on many adventures with him.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
I tell you what, the info war is never going to die. Even if we die untimely, it's still going to go on. Just like Charlie's organization, Turning Point, is going to go on.
Too late, can't stop it.
Yeah, it's going to have mass effect at this point. I think people are going to become even more engaged, more serious, more focused.
Well, now they're going to want to go and listen to what he had to say.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah. Wait till those videos keep going out, because those videos aren't going to go away. Here's a statement from Turning Point. It's with heavy heart that we confirm that Charles James Kirk, that's my middle name, James, and interesting, James T. Kirk was the captain of the Enterprise, has been murdered by a gunshot that took place during Turning Point USA's The America Comeback Tour campus event at Utah Valley University on September 10th, 2025. May he be received into the merciful arms of our loving Savior who suffered and died for Charlie. We ask that everyone keep his family and loved ones in your prayers. We ask that you please respect their privacy and dignity at this time. I imagine Charlie's going to have a hero's funeral. And I don't look forward to seeing that, but he definitely deserves a hero's funeral. We have a press conference we might be bringing up here coming up in the next segment. But you're going to take over, and I hand you the baton.
All right, brother.
Thank you for coming in, Stuart. And hey,
bad circumstances.
Bad day, but you know what? The info war is not going to end. We're not going to end. Charlie Kirk's going to live on forever. And God bless Charlie Kirk and God bless Turning Point.
Amen.
We'll be right back after this.
So you said something in your body did what?
So I did. She used my body to stab place.
And so she just got stabbed.
Yeah. In 1955, America stood as a nation committed to addressing mental illness. With 558,922 psychiatric beds available in institutions nationwide, offering a sanctuary for those battling severe mental disorders. Fast forward to today, and that number has plummeted to a mere 38,922 beds, a staggering 93% reduction. Meanwhile, 15.4 million adults grapple with serious mental illness, with 33.8% of young adults aged 18 to 25 and females hit hardest, and one in five teens wrestling with debilitating conditions. Mental illness rates are higher among those below the poverty line at 29%.
If we launch a broad new health program now, it will be possible within a decade to reduce the number of patients now under custodial care by up to 50%.
The deinstitutionalization movement, once hailed as progressive, has left an ascendancy, a dangerous, gaping void in care, and overwhelmed an American society unprepared for the fallout.
Deinstitutionalization has been around more than 50 years, probably closer to 60, and can be attributed to breakthroughs, or what were considered breakthroughs back in the late 1940s, involving the use of psychotropic medications, specifically chlorpromazine, to treat people with schizophrenia and related psychotic conditions. And then it was also the financial implications, where state governments were putting their dollars, whether it be in a large institution, state hospital, if you will, or where the money's better spent supporting people in the community where they wanted to live.
Institutionalization was flawed in certain fundamental respects. It assumed that there was a community that was willing, able, ready, and prepared to receive mentally ill people and provide them with a complete range of supportive services.
The mental health crisis isn't just a statistic, it's a ticking time bomb, and the streets of America are ground zero. The establishment has turned mental illness into a profit-driven racket, peddling pills and platitudes.
America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
There's only two countries in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising by pharmaceutical companies on television. Or one of those countries, New Zealand is the other.
While the system collapses under the weight of its own failures, Big Pharma rakes in billions, pushing medications that often do more to sedate than to solve. And who's greasing the wheels of this chaos on the ground? Look no further than the Soros-backed DAs who fling open the revolving door of justice, releasing predators back into our neighborhoods to terrorize yet another day.
We don't know why that man did what he did. And for Charlie Kirk to say, we know he did it because she's white, when there's no evidence of that, is just pure race mongering, hate mongering.
And then we hear from Van Jones that, you know, we can't say for sure whether that black criminal killed Irina because she was white. Can't say that for sure. So just to review, the media can say for sure that it's racist to say mean things about a black guy who killed a white woman, but they can't say for sure that it's racist for a black guy to actually kill a white woman. So the murder is not racist necessarily, but the commentary about the murder, well, that is racist. That's what these despicable snakes are actually claiming.
This isn't just a policy failure. It's an absolute betrayal of the American people. While the tsunami of mental illness has now become a propagandized voting and activist bloc, masquerading as the American consensus, homeless encampments swell, jails overflow with the mentally ill, and families live in fear of the next unhinged outburst. The question isn't whether we can afford to rebuild a system that works. It's whether we can afford not to. While the citizenry is represented by the mental illness cheerleaders of Mockingbird Media, paying the price for a nation that has traded sanity for exponential anarchy. Make America sane again.
Coach, going in for Rob Dew on the War Room. Very sad day today with Charlie Kirk being murdered right here in front of our eyes on live TV. It's been a very traumatic day for the crew here, and frankly, enraging. So I think all Americans, all patriots out there understand that this is a watershed moment. Unfortunately, we've crossed the Rubicon. They've now begun to kill us in the streets. But as we said earlier, Ashley Babbitt was murdered on January the 6th. Let's not forget that. She was also shot in the neck and murdered in cold blood. And that's what I want to talk about with our next guest who's coming on is Ivan Ranklin, Special Forces retired Lieutenant Colonel, who's been a relentless pit bull on the deep state, and especially over January the 6th. If there's a chance we could bring Ivan up on the screen, I'd like to talk to him about what happened today with Charlie Kirk. And then also we want to talk about Tina Peters and what we can do for her as a political prisoner. So while we're doing, waiting for him to come on, I'm going to go ahead and do a shot of methylene blue here, keep myself running. So I encourage people, this organization, InfoWars, has been around now for a long time. And like one of the earlier callers said, you know, Alex Jones was his red pill back in 2012. And I've heard that from people all across the country ever since I've known Alex, is that he has woken a lot of people up. He's been their red pill and woken them up to the dangers in our society, what's going on. So you need to support Alex Jones. You need to support InfoWars. Right now, they've got a special going for if you spend $75 in the store for anything, you get a $10 credit. It knocks your bill back down to $65. And they've also got a great program for when you sign up, you get 50% off methylene blue, and you get a consistent, never run out. It gets re-upped every month. I've done that before with other supplements. I think it's a good way to go. You don't have to worry about paying for it and ordering it again. It just shows up in your mail. So support InfoWars. They do good work. They're in the fight for the real reason, for the right reasons. I've known these guys for a long time. I know they're true blue, so I stand behind them, and I want you to, you know, encourage you to support them. It doesn't cost you much at all to give them a few dollars here and there of your money to keep them running. So now let's bring Ivan on. Ivan, you know about Charlie Kirk, right? You've heard about that? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, that's
nuts. Give me your thoughts as a trained special warfare soldier. What do you think about that?
Well, first off, I mean, totally tragic. I mean, when I first saw that, I was actually at an appointment, and I walk out of my appointment, and I see my phone completely blown up, and I'm thinking to myself, something massive just happened, because my phone doesn't blow up like that, like it did today. And so I went to scroll through X, and I saw what everyone else saw, which was, I mean, there's, in my opinion, based on that shot, he bled out within 5 to 10 seconds. I mean, there's no way, even I think in the emergency room, if that happened, there's no way that he could have survived that. Anybody could have survived that. So, I mean, it's just tragic. I don't know what else to say. I've known Charlie for, I don't know how long, probably at least 6-7 years. I wasn't close with him, but you know, we knew each other. We would go to different events, and he'd always be very cordial and be like, "Hey, Ivan, what's going on?" And you know, he always had positive things to say when most people are scared to say anything positive about what warriors are doing. Because I mean, let's face it, I mean, I didn't agree with him on very few issues, but 99% of his rhetoric was always peaceful. It was always trying to push others that are radicalized to kind of tone it down. Okay.
Right.
And unfortunately, he was unsuccessful.
Well, he was successful, though. I think he opened a lot of eyes.
His whole life. I'm saying, at least for today, he did reach millions. I mean, right. I'm guessing that the video and the videos and the collective of what happened to him today is going to be, I mean, that's probably the most tragic live piece of content that I think humanity has ever been exposed to. And I mean, anything I say is just going to probably offend or be insulting, but I don't mean it that way. He was a good man. He was a fighter. He had balls. I mean, he was a man. He stood up for what he believed in. And even, I can't remember who said this, but I think it was after, I think Jack Posobiec mentioned it. I think I saw it earlier today, that after Butler, after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump at Butler, Pennsylvania, I think Jack asked Charlie and said, hey, you still want to do these events at the college campuses? And he said, yeah, I'm going to continue to fight. And I think if that's the case, I think at this point in time, you, me, and anyone else that has a platform, we need to, I'm going to double and quadruple down.
Amen.
To make sure that we can fill the void that is right now in America of Charlie Kirk's voice being on.
Amen.
Like all of us needs to step up massively.
Totally agree. That's what we were saying earlier. We got to double down and triple down and not give up college campuses, not give up that fight. We got to make sure that we don't give that ground to the enemy. That's what they want.
Right. And so I think what this does is people are going to be scared to show up to the events. Speakers are going to be scared to show up to speak. And guess what? I'm on God's time. So we're just going to continue to fight. And I'm going to regret saying this, but I think I have to say it. Our institutions have failed us, no matter what administration is in office. This sort of activity and events, whether it's the young lady that was in cold blood murdered, that was caught on camera, and now Charlie Kirk, for the whole world to see. They wanted to do that to President Trump. The reason why President Trump survived it is because he moved after the trigger pull. Charlie, unfortunately, wasn't in a position to do that. And it really begs the question. I'll say it. First thing in my mind when I see these things is because our institutions have failed to hold to account 10 years of treason, Jim Comey is still running the streets calling on assassinations of President Trump.
Right.
Others are calling on assassinations. They're using their communications platform, you name it, from left to right, to advocate the normalcy of this violence. Until Pam Bondi, let me just be honest, until President Trump, Elon Musk, Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, and everyone else in government that refuses to allow folks like you and me that have a pair of balls to come into the administration to actually do what is necessary, until they grow a sack, this is going to continue to escalate.
And earlier we're talking about Michael Byrd, the police officer that murdered Ashley Babbitt. Why has he not been charged? Start with that. I mean, he shot her in the neck also, an unarmed woman. And he got away scot-free and was praised as a hero. So why has he not yet been indicted?
Officer, yes, and Metropolitan Police Department officer Lila Morris was slain by, Metropolitan Police Officer Lila Morris beat to death Roseanne Boylan. What else do we have? Victoria White was brutally brutalized by another MPD officer, Jason Bagshaw. I mean, it just continues to escalate, but 8 months of just squandered. Guess what the deep state does? They just burrow in and run circles around Cash, Dan, Pam, everybody in the administration. Right. So I will say this, that right now we're in a failed state. We're in a failed nation, and that's why men have to step up. We had a conversation earlier today. I don't know if you addressed it during your earlier broadcast, but I think it needs readdressing. Those two men that were in the trolley or the train with that young woman, they did nothing. That's unacceptable. That is, I want to know their names because I want to basically showcase what cowards they are for not protecting her.
Right.
That's a problem. That's an epidemic we have in this country. Yeah. If you're a grown-ass man and you see somebody doing something wrong, you better step in there and stop it. And if they're going to kill someone else, you better believe if I'm in that situation, I want to see my jury of peers. I want to see them coming after me for whatever crime they're going to convict me of. But guess what? My conscience is going to know exactly, and everybody else is going to know exactly that the person that committed that violence on her is dead because of me.
That's right.
That's what would have occurred.
That's right. I said the same exact thing. He wouldn't have walked off that train if I was on that train. I'd taken the trash out.
And I would have taken injuries. I mean, if I didn't have anything on me, guess what? I would rather have mutually assured destruction than him to continue to lawlessly just slaughter innocent women like that.
I mean, he was I would consider him a threat to anybody else on the train. He was still armed.
Yeah.
He didn't drop his knife. He's still a threat. So take him out. Don't pass go. Just get it done. Yeah, so the same exact thing earlier. So let's talk about with Charlie Kirk shooting. Have you seen the rooftop video yet? Have you seen the video imaging? Let's see if the guys can show it to you of the guy, yeah, the shooter running away.
I just saw something come up. It looked like a silhouette, but it wasn't really clear.
So one, I don't think the crew can pull that up, but there's one silhouette. There's one shot of him laying on the roof prone, just like in Butler. People in the crowd can see him, but apparently no law enforcement, no campus police, no security has noticed this guy on the rooftop and moved Charlie Kirk out of the way.
Meanwhile, Pam and Cash have done nothing to Crooks. They've done nothing to Bird. Yep.
Watch the very beginning. See that he's running across the building, running across the rooftop after he makes a shot. And there he is, lying prone. See that? Black silhouette, lying prone.
I see that lying prone. I can't really, I can't make it out if it's a human or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that scan that you have here, it's really unclear whether somebody's running.
You can see it.
Is this clear from your perspective?
Yeah, he's running from right to left. They show a still photo circling the guy. But yes, right at the very beginning, right there, you can see him running from right to left after he takes a shot. So just like in Butler, people in the crowd are seeing this person up there, and like the one person zoomed in on him. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, apparently, campus police, whoever is responsible for the venue, is not paying attention. So just like Butler. That's why I suspect a professional hit. I think Rob's right. Rob said that first earlier. What do you think?
It seems as though almost the guy that they arrested was there as a decoy
exactly.
to buy the actual shooter time
yep.
to basically say, he probably said something like, look at me, or whatever. And then they arrested him.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, it diverts assets to give the actual shooter time and distance
yep.
to make his getaway.
Spot on. Exactly right. That's what we were talking about earlier. Is them grabbing that guy distracted all their attention from the actual shooter.
Similar to the pipe bombs, right?
Right.
Down at the DNC and RNC on January 6th.
So in this, like you said.
At what point does, sorry.
Go ahead. So we're in a failed state. The deep state continues to make war on us, continues to destroy the Constitution, and so far they've not been held to account. Now we hear rumors of grand juries being convened across the country. We hope that's true.
I don't believe anything until I see it happening. And right. It's not that I need to see it. The whole country needs to see it. Because right now, okay, we may have some decent players up at the top, but guess what? You can have a cabinet level official that's grade A, or you and I would consider giving an A+. But when they're leading an organization that consists of 99.9% enemy, they can't do it alone, nor will they. They will fail miserably. It's only those that come out and go in public and say, this is what we're doing, and mobilize the public to go with them and protect and support them. Those are the ones that are being successful. Tulsi Gabbard is basically having us ride along with her as she exposes this.
And she
doesn't have authority to go after people.
And she also
Bobby
purged,
Kennedy
didn't she
is
also
exposing all of this.
And
she purged her department. Right. Yes.
Unlike the FBI.
What did the FBI director do? He elevated those in the deep state that were targeting J6ers. Meanwhile, you being a J6er, I like to remind people, those that were in D.C. on January 6th already saw and knew the evidence that the 2020 election was illegitimate, lawless, unconstitutional. Like, they may not have known it as well as Stuart Rhodes down to the granular pixel level of why, but they had the gut feeling that it was totally lawless.
Okay. Obviously, right.
What America sees, like, I have to go back to on January 6th when there was an event that we held in D.C. basically to commemorate what happened on January 6th. The Criminal News Network reporter came up to me and ambushed me and asked me, will you be disappointed if in a year from now no one's held for treason and hung for treason? And I said, would I be disappointed? I think the entire country is going to be absolutely apoplectic, furious if that doesn't happen.
And right now we're at 8 months, basically.
Right.
And so it begs the question, is Charlie Kirk's blood on our institution's hands for failing to protect him, for failing to protect Irina, for failing to protect us from those that committed mass-scale genocide through the jabs, mass-scale lawlessness through deprivation of rights to you and everyone else? By the way, as a side note, I was hoping today we were going to discuss this, but because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, we're not even going to get to it. Those that are in a position to push back against this lawlessness can't really do so like you, because you're in this commuted state, because the deep state won against President Trump and told him, no, you need to only commute the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. Meanwhile, none of you committed violence on that day.
Right. And I'm pushing back anyway.
It's ridiculous.
I can't bear arms. None of you committed violence.
Meanwhile, all these violent actors are just going completely lawless, genocide. I mean, you and I know the names. I created the list, and they're just still running freely throughout the country.
They're still running freely.
Running freely.
And they're still running their ops. That's what I think is going on right now. So
yeah, and
why would we not suspect
each agency to escalate their ops?
So look at Butler. This blew my mind to watch Kash Patel and Dan Bongino sit there in that Fox News interview and say, that investigation has been closed because the shooter's dead. Like, where'd you guys learn how to do anything when it comes to investigations if that's how you roll? You shut the investigation down because the shooter's dead. You're presuming that was the only shooter?
That kind of sounds like Nancy Pelosi investigating Michael Burt. Oh, because Ashley Babbitt's dead, there's no reason to investigate the shooter.
Yeah. So why would
it's embarrassing.
So why would that same deep state not continue to kill conservatives, prominent conservatives? So that's what I think's been going on. So that's what can happen today.
Yeah, why would they stop, Stuart?
Yeah, why would they? Right.
Because what happened after all the swattings took place of conservative influencers and independent journalists?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
Did Cash do anything? Did Pam do anything? No, because they're busy going to MMA matches. They're busy going to tennis court matches. They're busy going to, you name it. They're busy spraining their shoulder or whatever, doing a little wrestling.
Yeah, so here's a text or post on X by Patel. We're closely monitoring reports of the tragic shooting involving Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University. Our thoughts are with Charlie, his loved ones, and everyone affected. Agents will be on the scene quickly, and the FBI stands in full support of the ongoing response and investigation. But as you said earlier, all of those agents, 5,000 FBI agents who went out there and followed orders to oppress us all across the country, and intimidate witnesses, to arrest witnesses, all of them are still on the job. So that's who they're going to send out to help? Are the same ones that persecuted us are going to help find the shooter for Charlie Kirk? They need to be purged out of the FBI. The FBI is a joke.
Here's the easiest way to purge this entire U.S. federal corrupt government. This is what I recommended to several on day one, and maybe we can do it today as a tribute to Charlie for his legacy, is that maybe this will be the catalyst to instigate the full cleansing of the corruption of our federal government. And this is how you do it. You pull all the records in each agency of who is vaccinated with the COVID death jab and who isn't. Those that didn't partake in the experiment, they come to work the following day. Those that did get the shot, they have to write a sworn affidavit explaining why they took it and who coerced them into it. That action alone through an executive order is going to literally have everyone fleeing, knowing that they were complicit in coercing someone else into an unlawful experiment at the leadership level. And then from there, you use the sworn affidavits of who was actually involved in the coercion as the initiation of criminal referrals for battery, assault, and then murder in the case of anybody that was injured or died under the purview of the individuals or leaders in those organizations that pushed the shot. Because guess what? The same people that pushed the shot are probably the same ones pushing for the didn't earn it policies, the conniving racism training, the DEI, the CRT, all of the lawlessness of the last 4 years.
Well,
we cleanse it.
I would
rather have 1-2% just warriors in our government that are just going ham against the criminals, then 100%, where 99% of them are stopping the 1%.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can also, every one of the FBI agents who worked the J6 cases, and every one of them that went after school board members and parents who were speaking out at school board meetings.
Against Why aren't all the whistleblowers working at the seventh floor for Kash Patel and Dan Bongino telling him, these are the thugs in your institution?
Why did they give awards to the guys that helped murder Lavoie Finicum in Oregon back during the standoff with the wildlife preserve there? You know, they helped set him up. I don't know if you know about that, but the HRT opened fire on him. That's how they got him to go for his pistol, and he was shot and murdered, or shot and killed by Oregon State Police. But the HRT fired on him. Of course, being a man, he went to defend himself. Then they later policed up their brass and pretended like they had not fired on him. But only it took a good guy, one of the Oregon State Police officers, blew the whistle on the fact that they had hidden the evidence. They policed up their own brass and hid the evidence that they had fired on him. But Kash Patel just awarded those men, the ones that did that, and the HRT team got an award from Kash Patel just the other day, like last week.
Clueless. I mean, these people are clueless.
Yeah.
And they box out and they listen to the deep staters that handle them to basically, they listen to them and say, oh, no, you can't have, all these whistleblowers that held the line. No, don't bring them back in.
Is Kash Patel that much of a clown, or has he been bought and sold by the deep state?
I don't know. You got to ask him, and the only place he communicates nowadays is on phone news. Okay. Whatever happened to the 2 weeks? We're going to have information about the pipe bomber. Huh, Cash? Dan? Hello? Knock, knock. Is anybody home?
Obviously not. So let's talk about Tina Peters. I think all the more so, we're going to talk about this earlier before we had the unfortunate news about Charlie Kirk being murdered today. But I think that only brings an exclamation point to why Tina Peters needs to be protected and removed from incarceration. And you and I had the, great minds think alike. We had the exact same thought. In a speech I gave last week, I laid out what should be done and was spot on exactly what you just said, too, in your ex post. We come back from our break. We'll talk about that. You have the floor.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bo Mason, Commissioner for the Utah Department of Public Safety. Today at approximately 12:20 Mountain Standard Time, political influencer Charlie Kirk was shot at an event at the Utah Valley University. He was taken by private vehicle to Timpanogos Hospital, where he later passed. The Utah Department of Public Safety will be co-leading this criminal investigation to find this killer, along with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We are working in unison with the county sheriff's office, the local police department, and the university police department, all of which have been very cooperative and fully engaged in this process. Shortly after the shooting, we did have a suspect in custody, George Zinn, but he was released from custody after we identified that he did not match the shooting suspect and was not an accurate person of interest. However, he has been booked into the county jail by Utah Valley University Police Department for obstruction of justice. We do still have an active investigation for the person of interest. This incident occurred with a large crowd around. There was one shot fired and one victim. While the suspect is at large, we believe this was a targeted attack towards one individual. This is a tragic moment in our state and in our country. As we heal, we encourage everyone who is struggling with news of the incident to call 988, our state mental health crisis line. In addition to that, our partners with the FBI will also be discussing other ways we can communicate through the public for tips and other information. Thank you.
Good afternoon. On behalf of the FBI, we extend our sincerest condolences to the family and friends of Charlie Kirk. Our thoughts are also with the people who witnessed this traumatic event. We know that what you experienced was very difficult. Our thoughts are with you as well. As soon as we heard about the shooting, special agents and personnel from the Salt Lake Field Office responded immediately. We have full resources devoted to this investigation, including tactical, operational, investigative, and intelligence. To be clear, the FBI will fully support and co-lead this investigation alongside with our partners. We are working on setting up a digital media tip line, and as soon as it's established, we'll get that information out to everyone. I know there's a lot of questions. This is very much an active case, and this investigation is in its early stages. We are following all the leads and all the evidence. If anyone has any information, please report it to the FBI or local law enforcement. Thank you.
On behalf of President Tumanez, who we've been communicating with, and she's on her way back right now, I say that on behalf of Utah Valley University, we are shocked and saddened by the tragic passing of Charlie Kirk. We express our sincere condolences to the Kirk family. We grieve with our students, faculty, and staff who bore witness to this unspeakable tragedy. He was invited by the student group Turning Point USA to speak on our campus. We firmly believe that UVU is a place to share ideas and to debate openly and respectfully. Any attempt to infringe on those rights has no place here. We do not condone any form of violence at UVU and seek to make our campus a safe place for all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this dark and tragic occasion. I want to thank our law enforcement officers who are leading this investigation, starting with Chief Long and his response here with the UVU Police Department. We're grateful for your leadership and your team. And again, to the speakers that you've just heard from who are co-leading this investigation. I also want to recognize Sheriff Mike Smith, who has been an invaluable partner as this investigation moves forward. I've been in touch with President Trump, with FBI Director Kash Patel. We are completely aligned with our state and federal partners as we work through this case. Now, this is a dark day for our state. It's a tragic day for our nation. I want to be very clear that this is a political assassination. We are celebrating 250 years of the founding of this great nation. That founding document, the Declaration of Independence, that this great experiment on which we embarked together 250 years ago, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. The first one of those is life. And today, a life was taken. Charlie Kirk was first and foremost a husband and a dad to two young children. He was also very much politically involved, and that's why he was here on campus. Charlie believed in the power of free speech and debate to shape ideas and to persuade people. Historically, our university campuses in this nation and here in the state of Utah have been the place where truth and ideas are formulated and debated. And that's what he does. He comes on college campuses and he debates. That is foundational to the formation of our country, to our most basic constitutional rights. And when someone takes the life of a person because of their ideas or their ideals, then that very constitutional foundation is threatened. Now, we have a person of interest in custody. The investigation is ongoing. But I want to make it crystal clear right now to whoever did this, we will find you. We will try you, and we will hold you accountable to the furthest extent of the law. And I just want to remind people that we still have the death penalty here in the state of Utah. Our nation is broken. We've had political assassinations recently in Minnesota. We had an attempted assassination on the governor of Pennsylvania. And we had an attempted assassination on a presidential candidate and former president of the United States, and now current president of the United States. Nothing I say can unite us as a country. Nothing I can say right now can fix what is broken. Nothing I can say can bring back Charlie Kirk. Our hearts are broken. We mourn with his wife, his children, his family, his friends. We mourn as a nation. If anyone in the sound of my voice celebrated even a little bit at the news of this shooting, I would beg you to look in the mirror and to see if you can find a better angel in there somewhere. I don't care what his politics are. I care that he was an American. We desperately need our country. We desperately need leaders in our country. But more than the leaders, we just need every single person in this country to think about where we are and where we want to be. To ask ourselves, is this it? Is this what 250 years has wrought on us? I pray that that's not the case. I pray that those who hated what Charlie Cook stood for will put down their social media and their pens and pray for his family, and that all of us will try to find a way to stop hating our fellow Americans. With that, we're happy to take a few questions.
The FBI director is posting that a suspect is in custody. I would just like clarification. Do you or do you not have a suspected shooter in custody?
We have a person of interest in custody that is being interviewed right now.
Is not George Zinn.
That is not George Zinn. Okay. That is correct.
Apparently they've got someone else other than George Zinn. The old man that was being carried out with his pants down around his ankles. So this is interesting. I trust the governor's intent. I would trust the Utah DPS. I don't trust the FBI, because the FBI is still, like Ivan was saying, is completely full of traitors that have not yet been purged out of the federal law enforcement. Do not trust the feds at all. Go ahead.
Can you guys talk about the possible shooting?
Do you want to talk about what we know there?
Yeah.
The only information we have on the suspect, the possible shooter, is taken from closed circuit TV here on campus. We do have that. We're analyzing it, but it is security camera footage, so you can kind of guess what the quality of that is. But we do know dressed in all dark clothing. But we don't have a much better description other than that.
Where did the shot came from?
The shot came from here on campus, from a location at
a roof.
Potentially from a roof, yes. A longer distance shot from a roof.
So to clarify, with the security camera footage you have and the person of interest that's in custody, does that match up?
That's what we're trying to decipher right now.
So did FBI or DHS have anything on the threat board this morning?
I can't speak.
I'll just say that the investigation is ongoing, and as soon as we have further information, we will be sure to release it.
Any indications of foreign intelligence involvement?
As of now, I can't comment on any of that.
Can you talk a little bit about the security of the event itself? Who was there security-wise, and what happens on these kind of events?
Chief Long.
So my name is Jeff Long. I'm the police chief here at UVU, and I'll tell you right now, we are devastated. We're a small police department. We have a very large campus. We have over 40,000 students, and we love our students. We love our visitors, and we're devastated by what happened today. This is a police chief's nightmare. I'm very saddened for the Kirk family.
I know his wife and parents found out about this. You know, obviously he's away from home. He's here in Utah. They find out by a police officer that visits their home. That's tragic. Nobody wants that. But I can tell you about our venue today. This was an open venue. This was outside. We did have six officers working that event. We had probably over 3,000 people that were in attendance. It sat down in kind of a bowl area here on the central campus. We have a waterfall area, and so he was kind of in a lower area, surrounded by buildings. You know, we had some plainclothes police officers that were in the crowd as well. You know, we train for these things, and you think you have things covered, and you know these things. You know, unfortunately, they happen. You try to get your bases covered, and unfortunately today we didn't. And because of that, we had this tragic incident. So we did have officers there. We had Charlie Kirk's team. He has a security team that travels with him, and they were here with him when he was shot.
Was the gun recovered?
I'm sorry. See?
Was the weapon recovered?
At this point, I can't disclose that.
Who made the arrest?
There was a question being asked about mass shootings. Was that person apprehended? And do you know who asked that question?
Say that question again. I don't know if I understand what you're saying.
When Charlie Kirk was shot, he was answering a question about mass shootings specifically. Was that person apprehended? And do you know who asked that question?
I do not. We do not have that at this moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have time for just one more question, so thank you.
Yeah, a question for the chief as well. Was it your team or Kirk's team or a combination of both that kind of set the security protocol for the event?
So we work together. You know, he has his team, and they do this all over the country. We all know that. This is not uncommon for them. They're very comfortable on campuses, and I was coordinating with his lead security guy. And we were working together.
Was this a sharpshooter type shot?
Ladies and gentlemen, those are all the questions that will be answered today. Again, thank you for covering this. We'll be updating you as soon as we have additional information through normal channels, working with law enforcement. Again, our deepest condolences.
No one was covering the rooftops. That's what's obvious out of this press conference is that nobody even thought about covering the rooftops. I just find that inexcusable. In the wake of everything that's happened in this country, and especially in the wake of Butler, what do you think, Ivan?
I mean, I understand that point, but this is not a public official. So Charlie Kirk's a private individual. And so, I mean, he decides based on finances, resourcing, etc., as well as, like you heard from the town and the security of the university, they only have so many resources. And so it's a question of, like, how many resources do you need to deploy if you already have somebody that's already determined that they're going to do whatever it takes to politically assassinate someone?
I'm not letting them off the hook. I would have placed a team on the most obvious shooting positions on the high points. Put some on the highest ground to watch the other rooftops.
Agreed. And then you have the ability to, you know, one person can see the entire landscape.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, the whole crowd, any anomalies. Agreed. Yep. It just takes one person.
Yeah. It takes like a two-man team up there. That's what it should have been done. Hey, let's switch gears. I wanted to say, I don't trust the FBI. I think the governor's got good intent. I think his heart's in the right place. I would trust the Utah to investigate this, but the feds, they are still chock full of traitors. So I don't want the FBI anywhere near that evidence, anywhere near that suspect. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, they've proven for 10 years at a minimum, and even more, but more recently, over the last 10 years, that they're going to do everything in their power to obstruct, cover up, and perpetuate the treason and lawlessness that we're witnessing, you know, as late as today with Charlie. It's disgusting. It is so embarrassing to be a U.S. citizen where we have an inept, incompetent, and treasonous federal institution that is in charge of law enforcement. It's disgusting.
Still, even after how many days now?
Still.
8 months, right, into the Trump administration.
I call it, at this point, it's 4 years and 8 months. They did it for 4 years, then they did it for another 4 years for an illegitimate resident, and then they did it for another 8 months now.
Right. Inexcusable.
So, I mean, no one's going to come and save you. At this point, You have to protect yourself and those around you. And I'm calling out every single man. And if you're not a man yet, you better step up and start learning how to be a man.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to get our country back, is down to, at the individual level. You get your counties solidified, and then you can start working your way back up. Because right now, total lawless failed state.
Amen. Preach it, brother. I said the exact same thing earlier today, that the men, I looked right in the camera and said, you men out there got to step up. Everywhere you go, everyone around you should be safer because you're there. Be prepared exactly. and able to do that. Like on that train, that should be the end of that guy. Make sure that you're prepared and capable. Let's switch gears to Tina Peters. You and I both are in agreement on this. I want you to lay out what you told the folks on X, and you give an interview about this. What do you think President Trump should do to keep her safe?
It comes down to you have the authority. There's a lot of people that are advising the president on doing what the politically safe thing is to do. And what the politically safe thing to do is, nothing. It ends up in murders and lawlessness, okay? And people dying on a daily basis, practically. So, if you want to actually show that you're serious, then all you have to do is look over to the administrator of the U.S. Marshals. Have him call up all 4,000 of his agents, or figure out who's actually a patriot and who's not. Bring them in, and then maybe consolidate some of the other patriots and other institutions, whether it's, you know, 1811s from DHS or from, again, however many you can muster. And then tomorrow on September 11th, why don't you go ahead and physically extract, you know, what do they call that? Snatch and grab, but this time of a federal witness who was the only one of 3,143 county clerks and equivalents throughout the country to showcase, witness, capture the 2020 electoral heist in her county of the fraudulently conducted federal election. Even though she was a county clerk, she is a federal witness because she witnessed, observed, and has evidence to show that the 2020 election in Colorado, totally lawless. Additionally, she probably has evidence related to the cover-up from that with the current Secretary of State, right? And the Secretary of State's involvement in attempting to remove unconstitutionally one of the candidates for president to be able to be placed on the ballot in Colorado. So this federal witness, Tina Peters, I mean, if I were in a position of authority, I would say, all right, let's roll. Let's go ahead and at the end of the day, Colorado is a lawless state. So the federal government, in order to rein it back in, first order of business, they need to go ahead and conduct a physical
rescue
of a political hostage with all of the federal government's resources. And if it requires an altercation, that's going to be on the Colorado State Penitentiary and law enforcement on whether or not they want to escalate. But there needs to be a 30 to 60 minute warning. You have 60 minutes to bring out political hostage, kidnappee Tina Peters. If by 60, when the 60 minutes is up, we're going to enter the building and extract her. And if anybody resists, well, guess what? There are rules for escalation of force on both sides. So let's see how it plays out.
I wouldn't give them the warning. I'll just land the choppers in the out the wreck yard, but she's out there at wreck, and just grab her and go. You know,
I always say this, Stuart. You always come up with better solutions than I do.
Jump inside that.
I lay it out, and you come up with a better plan.
Distract them out front, but while they're doing that, she's on the wreck yard. Just swoop in and pick her up. But yeah, I mean, she's a material witness.
And I think we talked about this on January 20th in the evening.
Right.
Basically, that needed to happen to every single J6er, which Tina Peters is a J6er, by the way.
She is. So she's a material witness, like you said, to the vote fraud of 2020, which needs to be investigated. Only way to preserve her life in the era of all these suicides that go on, people being suicided, is to secure her person and take her to the White House. I would just house her there. So you can live right there with the first family as a protected person. And just like Julian Assange was in an embassy, right, the Peruvian embassy, for years, she can live in the White House while they go fight it out in court. Don't leave her vulnerable to being murdered in prison, a gold star mom, right. A friggin' hero,
a political prisoner, don't leave her vulnerable, because they'll get rid of her, because she's evidence. She knows where the bodies are buried in the election. She proved it up, and she's got courage. And so I believe President Trump should do that. He can do that right now. Like you said, they can just have it done. He can use the Secret Service. He can use the U.S. Marshals. And they're in charge of witness protection anyway, right? U.S. Marshals.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's in their wheelhouse.
And it's, exactly.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at, 12 hours? Not 12 hours, but tomorrow is her birthday, 70 years.
Right.
It would be very appropriate to do this tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know. 2 a.m. would be nice.
Yep. Well, I would just say whenever she's on Rec Yard, so that's just me. But yeah, hey, you know what? Now that I've said that, do it a different way. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Do it some way they don't expect. Right.
You have much more experience than I do in prison life and terminology.
Hey, you can, you know what? Middle of night's good too, because there's hardly anybody on staff. You just swoop right in there, bust the door open, and get her out of the cell and be gone. And that staff's be like, we don't want any part of this. Just tell them stand down.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want a piece of that. No one's gonna. Some guy that's doing that as his job is not gonna go up against U.S. Marshals with lethal force. No friggin' way, you know. So yeah, I believe President Trump should preserve her life, especially in light of what just happened. They have not purged the deep state. The deep state's still rolling their operations. The CIA, the FBI, the entrenched deep state, and all these agencies are still running their ops. Secure Peter Peters and protect her.
30 seconds. I want to just close out with.
Let's do that.
I just want to pray for Charlie, his family, his wife, his kids. I mean, it was tragic.
Amen.
It infuriates me what happened.
It is. It is. Amen.
Unacceptable.
Brother. Amen. They got to give them peace and courage and strength. All right, brother. We're talking to you soon. God bless.
God bless.
Take care. God bless America, and God bless all of you out there. Stay strong, be resolute,